Welcome to the Investing in Real Estate Show. I'm Clayton Morris, and on this show, we take your questions. This is our Q&A episodes where you leave us a voicemail question about real estate, taxes, whatever's on your mind to build financial freedom, and we attempt to answer it here. We do have a free, very free, cheat sheet that I want you to download. It's called a Freedom Number Cheat Sheet. It's the number that changed my life. It helped me figure out how much money, cash flow, I needed every month in order for me to leave my job, in order to be able to cover all of my family's finances. It's a simple worksheet. It's about 3 pages long. It's totally free. Go to our website, morrisinvest.com/freedom. Again, morrisinvest.com/freedom. We'll have a link in the description below for you to download the Freedom Number Cheat Sheet. And while you're there on the website, you can leave us a voicemail, and I'll answer your questions right here in our Q&A episodes. Just click on the little microphone icon that's on the front part of our website and leave us a 30-second voicemail, and we will answer it here. All right, so we've got three great questions today from three great listeners. Let's take our first one here from Edward.
Hey, Morris. My name is Edward from New York City. The question I have for you is, how many property investors should have before considering using cost segregations? I remember you mentioned on the show that you have used that strategy before. How many property did you have under your belt before you use that strategy? Thank you for all you do. Have a great day. Bye.
Thank you, Edward. So what Edward's asking is our cost segregation analysis. Now, a cost segregation, a technical term, is you hire, first of all, a cost segregation engineer, which is a certified accountant that is certified in doing cost segregation analysis. Okay. Now, you can start to do these online if you like. They're technology has advanced where you can actually start to do these yourself. Makes it a little bit easier. So a little bit, a little bit cheaper, but still it's going to cost you some money. Now, the average cost segregation analysis to hire someone to do it costs about $5,000. So like at our company, Morris Invest, we do these on all of our properties. So for a lot of our clients who are qualify for it, you know, you have to be a real estate professional, which is in the eyes of the IRS, is 750 hours a month or a year in real estate. You can't have another job. That has to be your main job under the tax code, et cetera. We provide a cost segregation analysis for free to those qualifying clients on those properties. So they're able to take that $5,000 that we already spent because we're doing 20, 30 houses at a time when we build our new construction properties. And so we're able to provide that to our clients. They're able to accelerate that on their taxes in that calendar year, and they're kind of blown away by it. And they sort of ask us, like, what's the catch? You're like, no, there's no catch. Like, this is something we provide for our clients. It's what it sets us apart. Now, if you're doing this on your own, for us, Natalie and I, we waited until we had, I think we had like 20 properties before we did a cost segregation. We flew our cost segregation engineer in to our properties, and he did them all, and we were able to accelerate our depreciation on our properties. So we waited. But again, if you're working like with us, like as a full service team, you don't have to wait. You can get that immediately on a property. But again, so the answer is, if you're not working with us and you're considering doing it on your own, you want to wait to figure out what, you know, are you able to get that money back on your taxes? So if you're spending $5,000 to do a cost segregation analysis with an engineer that's flying in to look at your properties, it should make sense. Like if you've got a small single family property as your rental property, and that's the only property you have, probably not going to make a lot of sense. Okay. You're going to end up spending more than you might make in your cost segregation tax write-off. So it really just comes down to the numbers, Edward. You're going to just want to run the numbers and find out, talk to a cost segregation engineer and ask him or her, you know, first of all, how much would you charge to do this? What do you think I might benefit from after you did fly in to look at my properties? And then financially, does it make sense for you to do it? That's ultimately what Natalie and I looked at when we were considering our cost segregation. You know, okay, yeah, if he does fly in and he looks at these 10 properties, and then he flies to this next state and he looks at these 10 properties, yeah, we're going to save some good money on our taxes. But at the end of the day, if you've got one property, it's probably not going to make sense. Unless, you know, you work with us and we give it to you for free. So that's, you know, just a little, hey, I'm proud of that. I'm proud that we do that. It's a great thing that we do. And so I'm not going to shy away from saying I'm proud that we we include that for free for our clients. But again, it just comes down to numbers, Edward. I hope that makes sense for you. Just get out your spreadsheet, look at your numbers, talk to a cost segregation engineer and find out, you know, how much do you charge? And how much could I expect to then save on my taxes? We've actually talked with cost segregation engineers who will tell you up front, it's probably not worth you doing these two properties. You know, you might want to wait till you have five properties, six properties, seven properties before you go down that rabbit hole. Anyway, hope you found that valuable, Edward. Thank you so much. All right, our next question comes to us from Beverly. Oh, by the way, I should just mention real quickly, we have full videos here on cost segregation. If you're not sure exactly what I'm talking about, I don't want to belabor it now, but it's just your ability to accelerate depreciation on certain quadrants of the property, like accelerate the depreciation on the roof instead of waiting 27.5 years. You can accelerate it in different increments, 5, 7, and 10 years. So you're able to, you know, get more of your money back more quickly. Today's episode is brought to you by Crowd Health. You know, open enrollment is here, and that means now is the time to take charge of your healthcare decisions. And guys, you know the problem with insurance. The whole system is totally broken. Crowd Health has a better way to fund your healthcare costs, you know, because you can see any doctor you want, no deductibles, no exclusions or co-pays, only pay the first $500 of any healthcare event, and the Crowd Health community takes care of the rest. That's right. No exclusive doctor networks that you need to weed through and pick through. No huge premiums, no high deductibles, no surprises. I'm just blown away by Crowd Health. I've interviewed the CEO and I couldn't believe how they came up with this solution. Amazing. They put the community back in community healthcare. You pay one low monthly total to fund your account. Your monthly subscription helps fund healthcare costs of the entire Crowd Health community. And unlike insurance, there's no doctor networks, so you can see any doctor you want to. Again, how do you actually beat the insurance industry? You do it by this, by what Crowd Health has done, by totally reversing the vicious incentives that got us into this mess in the first place. Crowd Health provides the peace of mind, something insurance companies don't seem to care about. And unlike insurance companies, Crowd Health helps you find great care at a fair price. Always pay doctors as quickly as possible and actively negotiates to keep costs down for everyone. So take charge of your healthcare today with Crowd Health. Open enrollment is the only time that you can hit the eject button on the broken system without any penalties. So don't wait. And for a limited time, you can join for just $99 per month. That's right, for your first 6 months. So when you use the promo code INVESTING, here's where you go. You go to joincrowdhealth.com. That's the website, joincrowdhealth.com. Again, that's joincrowdhealth.com and use the promo code INVESTING. Right now, Crowd Health is not health insurance. It's a totally different way of paying for healthcare. Terms and conditions may apply. Okay, next question from Beverly.
Good morning. My name is Beverly Causer, and I'd like to just ask a question for first-time investors in real estate. What would be the best recourse? What would be a way that would be safe to start out? Would it be wholesaling? Would it be flipping? Would it be to get a mentor and learn how to invest in single families? Or should we just take a loan, personal loan, and invest? Or a program to learn about multi-dwelling real estate? We're new, but we know that real estate is a good investment. We don't have a lot of funds to start. So can you please just give me some advice on which way to go, how to start, and what would be the best recourse? Thank you.
All right, Beverly. So thank you for the phone call. I appreciate it. I answered something like this similarly on a past episode. I don't remember the individual's name off the top of my head. I think it was Bernadine, actually, who asked this question. So I might have already covered this in a previous episode. But again, I'll say it again, because we can always learn from repeats, right? That's how we build muscle memory. There's three things that you need to be a real estate investor: money, people, and a deal. Okay. And so if you don't have the money, well, then you need to be able to bring something to the table. It could be a deal. Okay. And investors are out there. And a lot of investors who are wealthy don't have the time to be hitting the pavement finding a deal. So if you don't have the money and you do have time on your hands where you can actually put into going out and finding wholesale deals or deals in general, then that's what I would recommend. That's how I got my start. So what I did in New Jersey when I was getting started, you know, I was struggling to pay the bills. And I had extra time in the afternoons because I worked early mornings. I had to be at work at 3 a.m. So I get home at like 11 noon or so. I started working. I started calling the for sale by owner section on Craigslist at the time. And I would try to find deals. And I would talk to the homeowners. And I would, you know, I worked up like a little bit of a script on the phone and said, you know, I'm interested in buying houses in your neighborhood. And I see that you're selling this house. Can you tell me a little bit about the property? And I wanted to gauge their motivation. You know, were they a motivated seller? Like they needed to sell it now. They inherited this property. They didn't know what to do with it. It had back taxes and they lived out of state and they just didn't want to deal with it. And it needed work. And they're not going to invest in fixing up the kitchen and doing all of that work. And they don't want to call a realtor because it's kind of embarrassing. The house is kind of a mess. You know, the basement's trash. There's asbestos. There's whatever. There's mold. They're not going to put this up on Zillow. So then I could make them a deal. I'd say, look, let me come take a look at the property. And then I knew that there were flippers in the neighborhood who were actually flipping houses and spending 9 months renovating the house. So to answer your question, Beverly, I would not be getting in the flipping business. You don't know it takes a lot of work to be someone who's going to start doing actual construction on properties. Personally, I would avoid that at all costs because you don't know what can happen in the economy. Let's say you buy this house and now you and your husband are going to start renovating a house that you don't know. You're going to spend more than you think to fix it up. You're crossing your fingers, hoping that you'll be able to sell the property before the economy goes down or whatever, you know, like just be very, very careful about flipping. I mean, absolutely would consider like taking a full course on flipping houses before you did something like that. But with wholesaling, where you're able to get it, you know, get this property under contract, okay, and then you could flip that contract legally, talk with your lawyers about this, then you could sell that contract, you're selling the paper, okay, to a flipper who's going to spend 9 months renovating it. They're going to pay you a finder's fee, you know, $10,000, $15,000. I mentioned a property I did, one of my big ones was like $50,000, $52,000 profit. And I didn't have to do a thing. I didn't have to lift a hammer at all. And then I was able to take that 50 and I was able to invest it and buy long-term rentals. So again, I think there's definitely ways to get started. I'd recommend my friends over at Wholesaling Inc. If you're interested in like learning more about the wholesaling process, Zach Booth has a great Driving for Dollars course. I'll link that up in the description as well. That's been updated and Zach really does a great job. So if you're interested in wholesaling and going out and finding deals, that's a way for you to build up some capital, okay? Build up some cash and then don't just sit on that cash because remember, cash is losing value every day against inflation. I want to then take that cash and I want to move it into investments. I want to put that into long-term real estate investing. And then when you do that, then you can call us at Morris Invest. And that's what we do. We build 500 homes a year, new construction built from the ground up. And then you don't have to do anything. Our full service team will help you with a property, get you financing on the property, place a tenant in the property and the whole thing. So again, these are some options for you to get started. But I would definitely consider some ways to get some capital into you. One of the best ways is to be able to get involved in the wholesaling process to do that. That would be my advice. That's what I did. I'm saying that's my advice because that's what I did. I was able to build up a war chest kind of money, and then I was able to start buying long-term rentals. That's how I started out. So I hope you found that helpful, Beverly. By the way, I should mention we have a free boot camp also. I would encourage you to download it. It's free. It's 90-day financial freedom boot camp. Okay. It's 90 days. And each week you'll receive a new step in the process. And I think it's transformative for people. If you go to morrisinvest.com/bootcamp, download it. Again, it's free. Today's episode is brought to you by my very favorite VPN, our friends at ExpressVPN. I'm telling you what, I love these guys. I have it installed on every one of my devices, my iPhone, my iPad, my computer, my desktop computer. My wife has it. My kids have it. Why? It's to protect ourselves against snoopers out there. Your internet service provider snoops at everything you do. Every website you visit, they can sell that information. They can sell it, make a boatload of money off of that information, right? U.S. Congress has basically sided with them and said, sure, hey, if you're using one of these internet service providers, they can sell your data. They have access to it. And also, what about all of my banking? What about all of that stuff? Again, ExpressVPN protects all of it. ExpressVPN also keeps all of your information secure by encrypting 100% of your data with the most powerful encryption available. It's an app that reroutes your internet connection through their secure servers so your ISP can't see the sites you visit. And I'm really frustrated, guys. I got to be honest with you. The propaganda and the censorship that's happening now in countries like Canada, the United States, European Union. I mean, they're blocking certain websites, not allowing you to access certain video websites or news websites. It's really like in the year 2022, this level of censorship. So I don't want some country telling me what news sources I can read. Like I'm stuck reading garbage news sites like CNN or whatever. I don't want that. I want real news. I want actual journalism from real people. And I don't want an internet service provider telling me what I can and cannot read. So that's why I use ExpressVPN. Every day before my computer automatically logs me into ExpressVPN. I don't even know that it's running because it's so fast. It doesn't block anything. It just makes me, you know, just make sure that I'm protected. I might route through the Bahamas or I might use it in Iceland or some other location so I can read the news that I want. And also I can do my banking. I can do anything where I don't have the snooping eyes of internet service providers snooping around. So protect your online activity today with the VPN rated number one by Business Insider. Visit my exclusive link right now, expressvpn.com/investing. And you can get an extra 3 months for free in a one-year package. That's ExpressVPN. That's ExpressVPN.com/investing. ExpressVPN.com/investing to learn more. Thanks, guys. Okay, our next question. Here we go.
Hello. My question is, if you buy a rental property through your self-directed IRA, what do you recommend is done with the cash flow coming from that property? Do you recommend that you put it towards the principal balance of the mortgage? Or do you have a different recommendation so that that cash is not just sitting in the account, not collecting any interest? Thank you.
Okay. Well, first of all, on a self-directed IRA, it's not going to be collecting interest. It's going to be growing tax-free. So don't think of it like a savings account. Okay. It's a different animal. Remember, with a self-directed account, you're not allowed to touch that cash, okay, until you retire. So, you know, and our team can help you set up a self-directed IRA in about 15 minutes. So if you're interested in that, you can book a call with our team and we can do that for you. Now, a self-directed account, of course, is separate from like your 401k and your traditional retirement account. You have control of it. However, you're not allowed to touch that cash, that profit. So how do you use it? Well, personally, either I'm using it to build, buy other investments. Like if I have that extra cash in there, yeah, you could definitely accelerate the debt, the paying off of that property, the principal balance, if you want. That's totally up to you. I'm always of the mind that I want to do both. I want to both pay down my debts, but also I want to build more investments in my portfolio, in my self-directed account. So if you've got that cash just sitting in there, great. Remember that profit, it's growing tax-free. So as the tenants are paying your rent, it's going into this account and you don't have to pay taxes on it. It's not then you can use that, yes, to fire it at the principal balance or use it then as a down payment on your next rental property with financing as well. So you can keep this sort of snowball process going. And again, all of that then is self-contained within the self-directed IRA. So you're not allowed to touch that capital, not able to, you're not allowed to touch that cash. it really just comes down to a personal preference. Like, okay, you've got money from a bank. It has this amount of interest. It's got this interest rate. Are you nice and cash flow positive? Like, what's your internal rate of return on this property? You know, if it's 18, like our properties at Morris Invest are at a minimum 18% internal rate of return, minimum, and 18 to 22%, but minimum 18% return. So, okay, if the interest rate then is 5%, am I really concerned about paying off that principal balance more quickly? Or can I use that additional cash flow to acquire different rentals and keep adding to my net worth? You know, I'm not terribly concerned about paying off 30-year mortgages that are 5% interest, you know? Again, personal preference. That's my personal preference, but your mileage may vary. But I hope you understand that you're not allowed to touch that money until you retire. So you're kind of limited on what you're going to be able to do with it in that account. Thank you so much for that question. I really appreciate it. If you go to our website at morrisinvest.com, click on the microphone icon and you can leave us a voicemail question so we can answer them here on the show. So thank you so much. Now go out there, take action, become a real estate investor. I believe it's the number one way to build wealth. We'll see you next time.